you know, 1 degree of separation from Miles Davis. He's sitting right next to us, you know. You know, Miles wouldn't have had no chump hanging around him. So, you know, Quincy's a master in his own right. But I think there's one other point about your connection with Miles that is really important, you know, in this era that we live in, to have, and you can imagine 50 years ago when Quincy is discovering Miles' music, to have this sense as a young man in a very racist country, to have a man who is an unreconstructed black man as a role model.
That's my word.
You know, and that Miles paid the price. We see that picture of blood on it, perfectly attired, and blood from being beat up by a cop because he was accused of loitering, even though he was the main attraction at the club, outside of which he was attacked by the policeman. And the police attacks haven't stopped. And in one way, they've increased since then. We think of Eric Garner and the whole list of people. So maybe just a little bit about the importance of that unreconstructed black man to you.
Yeah, I said that there was people in my book, in the epilogue of this book, I was talking about the unreconstructed black man. Miles is one.
And the book is Miles and Me.
Miles and Me. It's going to be republished, by the way. It's going to be republished next year. It'll come out in the spring 2018. It's going to come out, not from the University of California Press, but Seven Stories Press in New York, because Dan Simon loves this book, and he said, I'll make it. So we already signed the contract is signed. It's going to come out right before the movie, and hopefully it'll ride that. But I put in there this whole about what a unreconstructed black man was, and Miles fit that image. And I just want to say one thing about Miles and that incident that you just brought up. He was being a gentleman, see, because Miles Davis, the great Dorothy Kilgallen. Remember Dorothy Kilgallen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she loved Miles Davis, but they weren't lovers. They were just friends. So he was walking her out to get a cab for her. They had a break, and she had to go. So he was walking her out to get a cab. Miles Davis, hailed a cab for Dorothy Kilgallen, who was a white woman. The cop thought he was going with her. He thought Miles Davis was going with Dorothy Kilgallen, which was not true. Because she was married and had, you know, she was going home to her husband. You know, so, and he, you know. Anyway, the cops saw him and came out and said to him, you can't loiter around here. He said, I'm not loitering. That's, see my name up there? I'm playing it. I'm taking a break. Well, you can't stay out here. He said, why not? I'm just taking a break. I walked the lady to the car, my friend, to the car, and I'm taking a cigarette break. Because then he's used to smoke. He didn't smoke the last 13 years of his life. He's taking a smoke. He said, I said, get out of here. And so Miles was like, man, what is this? You know, Miles was a rich kid. His father was the second richest man in the state of Illinois.
He was a dentist, his father.
Dentist. So he was a rich guy. He came from a rich family. They owned 300-400 acres of land. Houses, 3 or 4 houses. So he was like, what? What are you talking about? And then the cop grabs him, beats him over the head, and takes him to jail. That's what happened to him. And there's this great picture of him in Miles' autobiography, of him coming out of jail with a beige suit on. He had a beige suit on, bandage on, and blood was running all down his head and the suit. And they never apologized. You see? So that ties it in, you know, it ties it in. And this is a famous guy, and he's a wealthy guy. And he wasn't doing nothing, you see?
But he was also not going to back down.
He was not going to back down. Like, I don't back down either.